नमोम विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादि पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण। So thank you all very much for joining today's session. So we have been discussing from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, second chapter. We have been discussing the commentary of Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, Sararta Varshini commentary. So in this, we have been discussing on this section on Buddhi Yoga. So Buddhi Yoga can be primarily either Bhakti Yoga or Nishkama Karma Yoga. So Buddhi Yoga means performing particular actions with a proper understanding of something. That is Buddhi Yoga. That could be Nishkama Karma Yoga also, that could be Bhakti Yoga also. So basically Krishna has been asking Arjuna to fight. Initially, he insisted that Arjuna fight based on the understanding that the soul is eternal and the body is anyway temporary. So understanding the nature of body and soul, you should fight. That you don't necessarily have a reason to lament, so you should fight. So then he spoke on the platform of Sakama Karma Yoga, which is if you fight and win, you will get Swarga, O Arjuna. And if you fight and win, you can enjoy the kingdom, but if you fight and lose, you will get Swarga. So either way, you will get to enjoy. So that was the principle, because one of Arjuna's arguments was, I would not be able to enjoy and I will go to hell and suffer. He says, no, this is not true. This is improper understanding. Rather, if you don't fight, then you will go to hell and you will get infamy and people will criticize you. But instead, if you fight and win, you will get Swarga. Fight and win, you will get the kingdom. You will get to enjoy the kingdom. And if you fight and lose, you will go to Swarga and enjoy. But then he said, but better than fighting with the understanding, better than performing your prescribed duties for trying Swarga or anything, is if you perform your prescribed duties while being detached from these lower fruits, if you do that, then you can get liberation. That is Nishkama Karma Yoga. So, Krishna says, Esha te abhihita shankhe buddhi yoge tvimam shrunu. Buddhya yukto yaya partha karma bandham prahasisi. My dear Arjuna, till now I have taught you the understanding which is necessary for performing Jnana Yoga. That you are not this body, you are the soul. For the soul there is no death. For the body always dies and so on. But now, Buddhi Yoge Tumam Shrunu. Now I will now hear about the understanding that is necessary for practicing Bhakti. By engaging your intelligence in this way, you will become free from the bondage of karma. So he says, Neha Vikramanashosti Pratyavayona Vidyate Swalpamapyasya Dharmasya Trayate Mahatobaya. He says, Iha Abhikram, this process of bhakti, there is no loss by stopping without completion. If you start bhakti and stop, there is no loss. Actually, one does not lose anything. Whatever is gained is protected. But this is not the case with Karma Yoga or Jnana Yoga. And Pratyavayona Vidyate, there is no sin incurred by doing so. If you, for Karma Yoga, if you don't have to separately perform a sinful activity, by non-performance of Karma Yoga is in itself a sin. If one does not perform one's prescribed duty, that itself is a sin. One need not perform additional sinful activity, right? To incur any sin. And but in Bhakti Yoga, it is not like that. If you don't perform Bhakti Yoga, it is not sinful actually. If someone starts Bhakti Yoga and leaves it in between, it is not sinful. Prayate mahatobhayat, one is delivered from birth and death even by practicing a little bit of this process. Swalpam apyasya dharmasya. We saw the meaning, which means once someone takes up to practice of bhakti, his subsequent births, if at all he has to take birth in this material world, is not guided by karma. It happens. His subsequent birth is directly orchestrated by Krishna. This we saw this, right? We had a long discussion on these topics. So then Krishna says in the next verse that vyavasayatmika buddhir ekeha kurunandana bahu shakahi anantascha buddhayo avyavasayinam. So Krishna says that resolute intelligence, resolute one-pointed intelligence is possible only in the path of bhakti. One-pointed intelligence is impossible in any other processes. Because in the other processes, there is not one goal. Like for process, in processes like karma yoga, there is no one goal. There are multiple goals. So you will have to focus on multiple goals. But you may say, oh, but process of jnana and yoga, there is only one goal, liberation. He says, fine. So there may be, goal may only be one, but the process is multiple. In jnana yoga or ashtanga yoga or karma yoga, you have to perform the limbs of karma also. Initially, you have to perform karma yoga also. And then eventually one has to perform bhakti also, because without the element of bhakti, the process will not be successful. Right. So then, not only that, in order to jnana yoga, first one has to concentrate on ashtanga yoga. First one has to perform sakama karma yoga. Then one has to perform nishkama karma yoga. Then purify the heart. When the heart becomes purified, then he can practice jnana yoga. And ultimately, when he achieves perfection of jnana yoga, he should focus on giving up that jnana yoga also. So there is lot of different things which keep changing, right? So one has to focus on multiple things. But in Bhakti Yoga, one focuses only on Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada Sevanam, etc. at the stage of sadhana. And at the stage of sadhya also, one has to focus on the same thing. So there is no difference in sadhana and sadhya. And in order to attain success on the path of bhakti, one need not additionally perform karma or jnana or yoga. Only bhakti is sufficient. Bhakti does not need the support of any other limbs, either karma, jnana or yoga. So therefore, one-pointed attention and one-pointed intelligence is possible only in the path of bhakti yoga and no other process. So therefore, bhakti yoga is the most powerful process, because one can focus one's intelligence on one thing and not multiple things. Ekeha kurunandana bahu shakahi anantascha buddhayo avyavasayinam. But avyavasayinam buddhi. The intelligence of those who are irresolute, it has many, many branches. And all these karma yogis, jnana yogis, ashtanga yogis, they all fall within the category of avyavasayinam, irresolute, because they cannot have a resolute intelligence. It has to be many branched. So therefore, the most effective process is bhakti only. Then, in order to create a contrast between the bhakti yogis and the other practitioners, especially the sakama karma yogis who are after material results, he's Yamimam Pushpitam Vacham Prabhadanti Avipaschitaha Vedavadarata Partha Nanyadastiti Vadinaha. Now he says that the unintelligent people, describing this unintelligent people, he says, they are Vedavadaratas. They are Karmakandis. They are absorbed in discussing the Karmakandiya section of the Vedas. And what is their understanding? Na Anyadasti. Apart from matter, what is there? Nothing is there. So ultimately, all that we have to attain perfection is material only. is there within the Milvold. You can go till Swarga, enjoy, and then come back. Na anya dasti, there is nothing higher than this. And in this way, they speak attractive flowery language of the Vedas. Kamatmanah swargapara janma karma phalapradam kriya vishesha bahulam bhogeshwarya gatim prati. These people are kamatma. They are completely filled with material desires. Swargapara, they are very anxious to attain heaven. Kriya vishesha bahulam. And they speak many words concerning many of the processes, karmakandiya processes. You have to do this, you have to do this. You have to be so careful in doing this and that, and you have to worship them and this, that. For what purpose? Boga Aishwarya Gatim Prati. For attaining Boga and Aishwarya, they do all these various kinds of things. But for these kind of people, Boga Aishwarya Prasaktanam Taya Apahirta Chetasam Vyavasayatmika Buddhi Madhavna Vidiyate. Krishna says, But for those people who are attached to this bhoga and aishwarya, whose intelligence is completely attached to this bhoga and aishwarya, taya apahrita chetasam, whose consciousness is completely abducted by this kind of consciousness, this kind of desire for bhoga and aishwarya, vyavasayatmika buddhir samadhauna vidyate. This kind of vyavasayatmika buddhi that is seen in the bhakti yogis can never be seen in such persons. It is not at all possible. So, in this way, Krishna is actually discouraging Arjuna from getting attached to these material goals and the means to attain those material goals, and rather inspiring him to practice bhakti. So, this is where we ended our discussion last week. Any quick comments, discussion points before we move on to today's section? Anything anyone would like to share? Based on what we did last week. Okay. So if there is no discussion points or comments, then we will continue our discussion. So Krishna further continues. He says that he tells Arjuna that this is a conclusive verse. So Krishna says, Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraigunyo Bhavarjuna Nirdvandvo Nitya Sattvasto Niryoga Kshema Matmavan. He says, Traigunya Vishaya Veda. The subject matter of the Vedas is the three modes. Now my question to you is that, is there any transcendental matter that is discussed in the Vedas or not? Because Krishna here is categorically telling Traigunya Vishaya Veda. The subject matter of the Vedas is the three modes. That which is within the three modes. So now my question to you is there anything in the Vedas which is beyond the three modes at all or not? Why is Krishna speaking like this? Is he indicating that all that the Vedas have is only that which is within the three modes? Or is there anything beyond the three modes? If you say that there is anything beyond the three modes, then why is Krishna categorically telling here that Traigunya Vishaya Veda, Vedas contain only subject matter within three modes? Why is he telling like this? Or is your understanding that yes, Vedas have only subject matter within three modes? What is your understanding? Anyone would like to share your thoughts? Anyone? You can guess. You don't have to know the answer, but you can guess the answer. Okay, two devotees have raised their hand. Yes, Shyamlal Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Yes, Prabhu.
My understanding was that the Vedas have everything concerning the three modes and the manner in which you can overcome the three modes also.
Mm-hmm.
So in that way, it is also transcendental. I mean, it has information regarding the material world and also information to get out of this material world.
Okay. then why is Krishna telling Traigunya Vishaya? The Traigunya Vishaya Veda, Vedas are subject matter within three modes. Nistraigunya Bhavarjuna, and you should rise above the three modes, which means he is indicating that you should give up Vedas. That's what is my question.
I think it is that he is indicating you have to understand the Vedas in complete, in the whole, not just certain sections. I mean, the complete whole you have to understand. This is what, I mean, this is my understanding.
Yes. Thank you, bro. Vahini Mataji?
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, what I understand is like everything material can be classified into three modes. But Lord himself, when the Lord's description is there, which is beyond three modes. So if we try to understand Vedas from that understanding that, you know, that we have to transcend it to understand the Lord, because Lord is beyond the modes. So that's my understanding.
Okay. Thank you. Lokanath Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Prabhu, I just joined late and I missed the question. Probably you are asking why he is asking to give up Vedas, no?
No. I am asking here, Krishna says to Arjuna, oh Arjuna, Traigunya Vishaya Veda. Vedas contain the subject matter within three modes only. Nistraigunya Bhava. You should transcend the three modes.
Yes.
So, my question was, why? What is Krishna indicating here? Is he indicating that the Vedas have no subject matter within which is beyond three modes? Or if it does contain subject matter which is beyond three modes, then why is he telling that the Vedas contain subject matter which is within three modes only? Traigunya Vishaya Veda. So why he is mentioning like this? That is my question.
Okay. Or,
Yes.
So incidentally, I happen to be reading the translation of Vedas only at present. So I was reading, actually I got it on internet. There are four Vedas they have given in brief only translation. So the largest, it is around 1100 pages and the half of it is Rig Veda. So I was just ending Rig Veda. And what I found was that it is mainly prayers to the demigods. And that they should come and accept their sacrifice. And in one or two verses, it was described that they are invoking the Virat Purush. And at very, very few places mentioning that there is one person who is actually controlling everything. And most of the people are just interested in their materialistic thing. They don't care to know who is controlling all that. But otherwise, like maybe 95% or so, it's all about Karam Kanda only, what I've read up till now. So if we read directly Vedas, then to come to the conclusion that Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead, or even Lord Vishnu is Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then we have to surrender in bhakti, it's almost impossible. What I could, up till now, what I could read.
Thank you, bro. Thank you very much for sharing. Okay. So, let's see what the Acharyas say. Okay. So, we will wait and watch what Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has to say. If he does not comment on it, then I will comment on that. Okay. So, Krishna is telling here that the subject of the Vedas is the three modes. Well, this seems like a very categorical statement. Okay. Traigunya Vishaya Veda. And then he says, Nistraigunyo Bhavarjuna, and Arjuna rise above the three modes, which means literally he is seemingly suggesting that don't study the Vedas because the subject matter of the Vedas is three gunas only. Okay, so he says Nistraigunyo Bhavarjuna, rise above the three modes, O Arjuna, Nirdvandvo, and be free from the dualities. Nitya Sattvasto. And be free from dualities, situated with the eternal devotees. Nitya Sattva. Nitya Sattva are nitya devotees, eternal devotees. and be free of duality situated with the eternal devotees. Nir yoga kshemam, be devoid of the desire for gain or preservation. Don't always be thinking about who will protect me, what I will gain, and who will preserve what I have gained. And atmavan, and be engaged in the intelligence given by me. Okay. So what are the various things that he says? First thing he says is Traigunya Vishaya Veda. The subject matter of the Vedas is the three modes. Nistraigunyo Bhava. And transcend beyond the three modes. Rise above the three modes. Nirdvandvo. And be free from the dualities which are caused due to the three modes. Nitya Sattvasto. This is the fourth thing that he says. Be situated with the eternal devotees, which means develop a desire to be situated with the eternal devotees. Nir yoga kshemam, give up the desire for self-preservation and gain and material gain. And then the sixth thing he says is atmavan. Atmavan means be engaged in the intelligence given by me. Of course, even for a materialist, Krishna only gives him the intelligence. Krishna says, Sarvasya chaham hridisannivishto matta smritir jnanam apohanam cha. I am situated in everyone's heart, and to everyone I give the intelligence, knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. So everyone gets their intelligence or knowledge from Krishna. So Atmavan, he says, be engaged in the intelligence given by me, means the other, is there any other intelligence which is not given by Krishna? So what is that intelligence that he is talking about? Okay. So there are many questions based on this. If you take the first point, he says, from the first point, you understand the question that you get is, do Vedas contain subject matters which are transcendental to three modes? This is the first question from the first suggestion that Krishna is giving. Nistraigunyo Bhavarjuna, transcend, rise above the three modes. Does it mean to give up Vedic knowledge? And Atmavan, be engaged in the intelligence given by me. Then the question is there any intelligence which is not given by Krishna? So, and Nitya Sattvasto, situated with the eternal devotees, what exactly does it mean? What does it mean to be situated with the eternal devotees? And nirdvandvo, become free from dualities. How is it possible? Nir yoga kshemam, be devoid of desire for gain and preservation. What exactly does it mean? So this instruction by Krishna, which has the six parts, has a lot of questions which need some clarification. Let us go through this explanation of Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur and see if we can get answers to these six questions. Okay. And then we will get back. Then we will open up the floor for further discussion. So, first thing he says, give up all sadhanas of dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, and just take shelter of bhakti yoga. This is the meaning of nistraigunyo bhava. Because all sadhanas of dharma, artha, kama and moksha is either sattva, rajas or tamas. This is not transcendental to the three modes. And take shelter of bhakti yoga. This is the meaning of, that is the intention of this verse. This is the essence of this verse. Essence is this. Give up dharma, artha, kama and moksha. So this is where sarvadharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja, that which Krishna says in the 18th chapter, it comes in the second chapter only here in this verse. Traigunya vishaya veda nistraigunyo bhava arjuna. The meaning of nistraigunyo bhava means sarvadharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja. Because taking shelter of Krishna is the only process through bhakti yoga, is the only process which is beyond three. So, he says, the Vedas have the ability to reveal only karma and jnana and other topics composed of the three modes for personal gratification. This is a very harsh conclusion. The Vedas have the ability to reveal only karma and jnana and other topics composed of the three modes only for personal gratification. Oh, really? Then should we reject the Vedas? What is he suggesting? Let's see. The suffix ya in traigunya vishaya here denotes self-interest. Traigunya. This has only, the Vedas talk only about subject matters relating to self-interest. Does it mean we should reject the Vedas? He says, this statement, of course, means that the majority of the texts deal with material subjects. Majority. If the whole Vedic gamut speaks only about material gratification, and then on what basis will you establish Bhagavan, Bhakti, and all these transcendental subject matters? On what basis can we establish if it is not there in Vedas? So therefore, here he says, this statement, of course, means that the majority of the texts deal with this material subject matters, but not all. If all the Vedas talk only about material subject matters, then how do you establish bhakti? It has to be based on the Vedic scriptures only, right? So he says, however, the Shrutis or the Vedas do say, Bhaktir evainam nayati. Bhakti alone leads to the Lord. This is the Matara Shruti, which is also part of one of the Vedas. So bhakti, the glorification of bhakti, bhakta, Bhagavan, is all there in the Vedas. But it is not the prominent subject matter. It is there, hiding here and there, in between somewhere. But it is not there very consistently. Or Shvetashvatra Upanishad says, Yasya deve para bhaktir yata deve tata gurau. One should have as much devotion in Guru as one does in the Lord. So these are direct Vedic literatures which actually glorify bhakti and Bhagavan. As well, the Pancharatra and Smriti scriptures and the other Upanishads like the Gita, Gita Upanishad and Gopaltapani Upanishad make Nirguna Bhakti the subject of discussion. There are many literatures, even though these literatures which are mentioned here may be very small percentage of the total Vedic literatures. But still these are also part of Vedic literatures, and they actually their subject matter is primarily Nirguna Bhakti only. Bhakti which is beyond three modes. So therefore, if the Vedas never spoke anything about bhakti or Bhagavan, then on what basis are we going to establish the superiority of Bhagavan, bhakti and all these things? For us, Shabda Praman is the topmost and Shabda Praman is the Vedas. So when Krishna says Traigunya Vishaya Veda, as Lokanath Prabhu said, the majority part of the Vedas speak only about these subject matters. So unless one has the kind of time patience, ability, and if he is a Saragrahi Vaishnava, if he has the ability to extract the essence from the Vedas, then one can study the Vedas and come to the conclusion that ultimately one has to surrender to Krishna. Otherwise, it's very, very difficult, not possible. So here, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, if the Vedas did not speak of bhakti at all, then bhakti could not be substantiated. Okay, that is what, that is why he's not rejecting the Vedas, he's rejecting what is popularly and mostly accepted as Vedic teachings, which is Karmakanda. He says to reject, and Jnanakanda also, because Jnanakanda is also within three modes only. So he says, do not involve yourself with those statements of the Vedas dealing with jnana and karma, which is affected by the three modes. Nistraigunyo bhava. Nistraigunyo bhava means jnana karmadi anavritam. Don't concern yourself with statements of the Vedas which talk about jnana and karma. Accept only those statements which talk about bhakti. He says, but you should always follow the Vedic statements dealing with bhakti. He is not suggesting that Vedas be rejected wholesale. So therefore, the importance of parampara becomes very, very critical. And especially Gaudiya Vaishnava parampara. Actually, if you see the Vedic literatures, even Bhagavad Gita for that matter, it is a complex tapestry of karma, jnana, yoga, bhakti. It is all, everything is there. It's like a, you know, it's like a cloth, a complexly interwoven cloth where there are red threads, green threads, white threads and black threads. It's a complex, you know. So to make such a cloth is very difficult. To weave a cloth, you need skill. You need special skills to weave a cloth with various colored threads and make some beautiful, pleasant patterns, right? But it needs unbelievable skills to actually deconstruct the whole cloth and separate the red threads separately, white threads separately, blue threads separately, black threads separately. It needs actually unbelievable skills. That's exactly what our acharyas have done. Especially the Gaudiya Vaishnava acharyas. Because the scriptures very seamlessly give instructions for people of various qualifications, adhikars. Some instructions are for people who are qualified for karma. Some instructions are for those people who are qualified for jnana, some for yoga, some for bhakti. It's a very complex tapestry. But Nana Shastra Vicharanaika Nipunau Sadharma Samstapakau Lokanam Hitakarinau Tribhuvane Manyau Sharanyakarau. This is the nature. This is the exclusive glory of our Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas. They were Nana Shastra Vicharanaika Nipunau. They were expert in understanding the various scriptures and extract the essence, extract the thread of bhakti, and they have presented the pure thread of bhakti. So nistraigunyo bhavarjuna means, so therefore we cannot understand Krishna through the Vedas alone. We need these kind of personalities who can deconstruct the whole thing and present to us what is essential for us according to our adhikar. That is the glory of our acharyas. Otherwise, Vedas have bhakti in it, but that does not mean we sit and read the Vedas. We will not get anything. We will not make any progress, and we are not supposed to do it also. We are supposed to approach a guru and learn, and the guru will under your adhikar. Even in the traditional Vedic system, not everything was taught to everyone. So if someone thinks that I need to read the whole thing to understand, that is ridiculous. Even in the material world, we don't do it. A doctor does not study the engineering subject matters. An engineer does not study the accounts and commerce subject matter. An accounts and commerce person does not read the arts subject matters. It's so vast. So depending on one's inclination and qualification, one chooses appropriate literatures which one can do. Similarly, Shastras are also like that. So one need not read all the Vedas. Actually, our acharyas have done it, and they have given us what is needed. They have the ability to extract the essence and give, and they have already given it to us, right? So he says, but you should always follow the Vedic statements dealing with bhakti. By following those injunctions, you are free from fault. So that is a nistraigunyo bhavarjana. So Vedic statements cannot be rejected, but one should know which Vedic statement is applicable to me. So that is why Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatra Vidim Vina Aikantiki Harer Bhaktir Utpata Yalpati. Shruti Smriti Purana Adi Pancharatra Vidim Vina. Without following the rules of Shruti Smriti Puranas and Pancharatra, Aikantiki Harer Bhaktir, pure bhakti to the Lord creates disaster. Utpata Yeva Kalpate. This is Bhaktira Samsundu quoted from Brahmayamala. Now the question is, can someone actually practice pure bhakti without the teachings of Shruti, Smriti, Purana, etc.? So he says later in that same thing, Rupa Goswami gives a comment. He says, Bhaktir Aikantiki Veyam Avicharat Pratiyate. He says, only a person who does not understand what pure bhakti is properly, he will see that which is practiced by these people to be pure bhakti. But if one understands really what is the meaning of pure bhakti, such a person will not think that, oh, even though without practicing Shruti, without following Shruti Smriti Purana, they are practicing pure bhakti. Because it is impossible to practice pure bhakti without any faith in the Shruti, Smriti and Purana. So therefore, he is not suggesting that one should give up the Vedic teachings, but what he is indicating is the Vedas are primarily, or the majority of the Vedas speak about subject matter which is within three modes, but the Vedas also talk about subject matter which are beyond three modes. So one should act those statements. Now, who will decide which is beyond three modes, which is within three modes? The acharyas are there. So therefore, we cannot ourselves study. The acharyas have to reveal to us what is relevant for us and what is not relevant for us. Like that. So, here, he says, by this, one can understand that the Vedas deal with both material and spiritual topics. Topics involving the three gunas and topics beyond the three gunas. But you should be devoid of the three gunas. Nistraigunyo bhava. He's telling. So nistraigunyo bhava, you should be beyond three gunas, means what should Arjuna do? This is the question. So he says, by following the path of nirguna bhakti offered to me, cross over the paths dealing with the three gunas. Which means nistraigunyo bhava means, Srila Vishnu Jagadakur says, this is a direct instruction to follow Shuddha Bhakti. Because only Shuddha Bhakti is beyond three modes. Rest is all within three modes. Therefore, the indication nistraigunyo bhava means practice pure bhakti. Sarvadharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vaja. That is the instruction. Then, such a person will be free of the dualities, nirdvandvaha, within the gunas, such as respect and disrespect, and will remain with the eternal living entities. Nitya sattvasto. So this is an indication. If you follow Krishna, O Arjuna, if you are nistraigunyo bhava, which means if you follow pure devotional service, then what will happen? Nirdvandvo. By that practice of pure devotional service, you will transcend the dualities of life. Like you can transcend respect, disrespect, and so on. How? Because the consideration of respect, disrespect, honor, dishonor, fame, glorification, and all these things is within 3 months. When you practice bhakti, then what happens? Kama lobadayaschaye chetayate ranadam sitam satve prasidati. What is that verse? What is the beginning of that verse? Anyone can someone help me out? What is the beginning of that verse? First canto, second chapter. That which talks about the stage of nishta. Kama lobadayaschaye chetayate anaviddham stitam satve prasidati. So there it is mentioned that by practice of bhakti, how one overcomes the influence of darajastamo bhava kama lobadayaschaye chetayate anaviddham stitam satve prasidati. So by practice of bhakti, one initially transcends the rajogun, tamogun, and subsequently one transcends the sattvagun also. Then in this way one can overcome the influence of respect, disrespect, honor, dishonor, which all make the very deep impact to the extent that we are under the grips of rajogun, tamogun like that. So Krishna is telling, Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraigunya Bhavarjuna, but accept only bhakti, sarvadharman parityaja, give up all that. Only practice Nirguna Bhakti. And if you practice Nirguna Bhakti, then what will happen, Arjuna? You will transcend the 3 modes. And when you transcend the 3 modes, then the dualities will not affect you. That is the meaning of Nirdvandvo. Nitya Sattvasto. Not only will you transcend the dualities, but by practice of Bhakti, when you attain perfection, then you will go and stay with the eternal associate. Nitya Sattvasto. And Nir Yoga Kshemam Atmavan. Nir Yoga Kshemam. What is that Nir Yoga Kshemam? Give up consideration of gain and preservation, he says. So he continues, he says, if one were to say that Nitya Sattvasto means to be situated in Sattvaguna, that would be a contradiction to the statement Nistraigunyo Bhavarjuna. So Krishna is not telling Nistvegunyo Bhavarjuna. He does not say transcend the 2 lower modes. He says transcend all the 3 modes. So if you say transcend all the 3 modes, then Nitya Sattvasto cannot be translated as always remain in Sattvaguna, because Sattvaguna is also one of the 3 gunas, and Krishna says that transcend 3 gunas. So then how can you say Nitya Sattvasto to mean be situated in Sattva? Then it would contradict Nistraigunyo Bhava like that. So, he says, you will be free from the desire to acquire what you lack and to protect what you have attained because of your taste for my bhakti rasa. Whatever material things, if you progress on the path of bhakti, the desire to protect what you have and desire to gain what you don't have will not be there, because you would have transcended the 3 modes. And also because Krishna takes care of that. Krishna says, Ananyas chintayanto mam yejana paryupasate tesham nitya vyuktanam yoga kshemam vahamyaham. Nir yoga kshemam. Give up the consideration of gain and protection. Why? Because Krishna says, yoga kshemam vahami aham. I will take care of, I will protect what you have and I will provide what you lack. Krishna says, right? So, here, yeah, he's quoting the same verse here. He says, this is because I, out of affection for my devotee, carry the responsibility, yoga kshemam vahami aham. You will be fixed. So, this is out. 5 points we have already seen, right? We said 6 things that Krishna, 6 instructions Krishna gives here, and we saw the meaning of these 6. First thing we saw, Traigunya Vishayo Veda. Do the Vedas contain subject matters which are transcendental to 3 modes? We saw yes. But primarily, it has the subject matter of Vedas is within three gunas, but it does have subject matter which is beyond the three gunas also. Otherwise, how would you establish, how would you substantiate the superiority of Bhakti and Bhagavan based on the Vedas? Okay. Does it mean to give up Vedic knowledge? No, it does not mean to give up. Nistraigunya Bhavarjana does not mean to give up Vedic knowledge, but accept only Nirguna Bhakti as the essence. This is the instruction that Krishna is giving to Arjuna. Accept only Nirguna Bhakti as given by the Acharyas. And when you practice this Nirguna Bhakti, then what will happen? Nirdvandvo. You will be able, gradually by progress on the path of Bhakti, you will transcend the lower modes. And by transcending the lower modes, you will be able to transcend the dualities of life. Nirdvandvo. And Nitya Sattvastho, when you still further progress, then you will come to a stage where you become qualified to stay with the Nitya Siddhas. And because Krishna is taking care of your needs, providing what you lack and protecting what you have, therefore you also overcome the desire for Niryoga Kshema, for self-protection and providing. And finally, we saw Atmavan. Atmavan means, this is translated as, be engaged in the intelligence given by me. Now, we were trying to understand, is there any intelligence which is not given by Krishna? So, what is the meaning of Atmavan? Atmavan, be engaged in the intelligence given by me. So, what does it really mean? So, he says, you will be fixed in the intelligence given by me, Atmavan. Here, there will be an, okay. So, Atmavan, here the intelligence means intelligence in relationship with Bhakti. Trigunatita buddhi, trigunatita intelligence, intelligence which is beyond three modes. That's what he's indicating. So now, okay. Let's see how many more slides. This is a long purport. But before we continue with this purport, at this point of time, I will pause to see if there are any quick discussion points, comments anyone would like to share, ask before we continue with this purport, because it's a long purport. If something is not clear, then we will discuss right now. Yes, Vahini Mataji.
Hare Krishna. So, Prabhuji, this doubt I always had, like whenever there's this topic of, you know, guru judging the
disciple
and, you know, adhikar, unka adhikar, like what is their adhikar and how much they can study. So that is very ideal situation, and we don't see it happening at present, right? Like, because there are so many disciples, so it never happens, because all of us are trying to get knowledge from different shiksha gurus through different channels, you know, studying on our own, you know, sometimes trying to figure out things and, you know, getting our doubts cleared in different ways through different devotees. So, although, you know, my doubt is like, how does it work? Like, how do we, you know, because it's what is given and what is here described. And what we see practically now, we see there's a lot of gap. So how do we reconcile and how do we understand this, that we are supposed to understand from the guru directly, like, you know, all these things, and like, are you getting the point?
I'm trying to understand.
So how does it work, like, now in present condition, like, how does it work?
Yeah, good point. In present condition, at least that is why the qualification for bhakti is fairly straightforward in one sense. So it is, you know, one can definitely understand the qualification for bhakti, because the only qualification needed for bhakti is faith, shraddha. So, but the qualification for other practices are very complex. I suggest whoever asked the question stay unmuted, because okay. You know, you may have to ask a follow up question or something.
Sure.
So the qualifications for karma jnana and yoga are very complicated. But the qualification for bhakti is very straightforward, which is faith. And if you say faith is the qualification of bhakti, it is as good as telling there is no qualification for bhakti, because faith is the qualification to do anything. Without faith, you would not do anything. Right? Is there anything that you would do without having faith?
No.
We don't even breathe, right? Yeah. What if you have a doubt that, you know, you are sitting in a car where some carbon monoxide is leaking or something like that, and you know, you would not even breathe, or if some poisonous fumes are there, if you suspect that there are some poisonous fumes here, you would not even breathe. So even to breathe, faith is needed. So for bhakti, the only qualification is faith. But of course, it's a very specific kind of faith, which actually, to understand whether someone is qualified for bhakti or not, you don't need very high qualification to understand that. Actually, it's fairly simple to understand whether a person is qualified for bhakti or not. Okay. But to understand all the other qualifications, it's very difficult. You know, to understand what is svarna, what is, because it all starts there. Because ultimately, you cannot, for karma, jnana, yoga, everything, one has to be within the varnashrama. Which means there has to be a clear-cut understanding of figuring out what is the varna, ashrama, and all those things. Fortunately for bhakti, kirata hunandra pulinda pulkasha abira shumba yavanaha kasadaya yenyecha papa yadapashraya shre shuddhyanti tasmai prabhavishnave namaha. Fortunately for bhakti, anyone can practice. All that you need is faith. And to understand whether one has that faith or not is not rocket science. Someone who already has that faith and has been practicing for a while can actually understand whether that person has that faith or not. Right? So we did this exercise. You know, very, very simple exercise. I will ask you just 4 or 5 questions. And, you know, based on one's answer, you can understand whether the person is qualified for bhakti or not. Okay. First thing. First one is, Jata Shraddho Matkatasu. Whether do you have faith that the process of bhakti works? Do you have faith whether you know, the books written by Prabhupada and the Acharyas are bona fide books which can help me progress on the path of devotional service? Do you have faith in the association of devotees? These are few. So it may not be very firm, deep-rooted faith. It can be even cursory, pliable faith, even beginner's faith. If someone has, do you have, right? So this is the first thing. Second is nirvinna sarvakarmasu. This means, apart from bhakti, do you think that I need to do many other things to progress spiritually? You know, apart from bhakti, do you think that I need to do some jnana, some karma, some yoga? So, or do you think that Krishna bhakti kaile sarva karma kruta hoy? By performing bhakti, I can achieve as given by Srila Prabhupada, I can progress spiritually, that is sufficient. This is the second aspect. Then, Veda dukkatmakam kaman. Do you understand that any endeavor for sense gratification will ultimately lead to suffering? At least, you know, the suffering will come in the form of, at some point that you will no longer get that enjoyment. So that enjoyment will stop. So you will suffer at least because of not getting that enjoyment. Veda dukkatmakam kaman. And the fourth thing is, parityage api anishwaraha. But still, you are not always able to say no to sense gratification. Even though you know that sense gratification leads to suffering, you are not always able to say no to sense gratification. తతో భజేత మాం ప్రీత శ్రద్ధాలు దృఢ నిశ్చయ జుషమానశ్చ తాన్ కామాన్ దుఃఖోదర్కాంశ్చ గర్హయన్. అండ్ సమ్ టైమ్స్ అండ్ వెనవర్ వి సకమ్ టు సెన్స్ గ్రాటిఫికేషన్ వి ఫీల్ రిపెంటెంట్, ఓ ఐ షుడ్ నాట్ హ్యావ్ డన్ ఇట్, యు నో ఐ షుడ్ హ్యావ్ బీన్ లిటిల్ మోర్ కేర్ఫుల్, ఆర్ ఐ షుడ్ హ్యావ్ బీన్ లిటిల్ బిట్ మోర్ డిస్క్రిమినేటింగ్ లైక్ దట్. సో దీస్ ఆర్ ఫ్యూ థింగ్స్ రైట్. జనరలీ ఇఫ్ సో దెర్ ఆర్ లైక్ 4-5 simple pointers, and if one himself has that faith and he is a sincere reasonably sincere practitioner, so it all that it needs is to establish some reasonable relationship with that person to understand what is his stance on these 4 or 5 pointers. So and you can understand whether that person is qualified for bhakti or not.
Prabhuji, where is this shloka from? Sorry to
Bhagavatam. 11th canto Bhagavatam.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
So, yeah. So therefore, to check whether a person has any other qualification of karma, jnana, yoga, in Kali Yuga and in today's age, even if he may have qualification to practice any of those processes, practically, it is impossible to practice and perfect those processes because all of them need so many requisites. For example, such a person, very simple, neither a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya or Shudra, all those 4 people, in today's society, it is practically impossible for them to have an occupation which is exactly according to their Varna and still hope to survive. It is not possible actually. Brahmanas cannot earn. Right? Brahmanas cannot earn money. There are so many such this thing. So many such do's and don'ts. Which in today's day and age, to perfectly follow. And if you don't perfectly follow, then you are committing a sinful activity. So can you imagine how difficult it is to practice karma yoga? If someone thinks bhakti is very difficult, bhakti is very complicated, I will simply practice karma yoga, they are under illusion. In today's day and age, it's very difficult. Karma yoga is not so easy. First thing, for that you have to know which varna you belong to. Who is going to do that? And if you see the do's and don'ts of karma yoga, it's practically impossible in today's day and age. Because what you go to them, you have to perform particular sacrifices, you need ghee. The ghee that you get in the market, you don't even know whether it is ghee or not. It's not even ghee. You can be sure that it is not ghee, actually. So, there are so many things. But for us, that is why, if you understand these nitty-gritties, you understand that, thank God we are very fortunate because the only qualification for bhakti is faith. Correct. And you can practice bhakti. And bhakti, if you have the devotion in your heart, even little bit of devotion, that is good enough. You know, it is not depend on what you offer, the purity of the things that you offer. But in karma yoga, it very much depends on the purity of the things that you offer to Krishna. And if you don't perfect karma yoga, you don't become qualified for Jnana Yoga or Ashtanga Yoga. So, performing Karma Yoga is not possible, performing Jnana Yoga or Ashtanga Yoga is impossible, not at all possible. So, in reality, that is why when Prabhupada commented on Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, he only spoke about Bhakti Yoga, because the rest, what is the point in elaborating on things which is impossible to practice? You know, why waste time? So Prabhupada did not elaborate much about karma, jnana and ashtanga yoga. In those chapters also of Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada spoke only about bhakti yoga. So in reality, we don't have to know whether one is qualified for karma yoga, jnana yoga, ashtanga yoga. What will you do knowing that in today's day and age, even if they have that qualification, they cannot practice it? So all that we have to do is to help them gain some ajnata sukriti, so that slowly they become qualified for bhakti yoga. That is the only thing that we can do.
Correct.
Nothing else is practically possible in today's day and age.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is it okay, Mataji?
Yes, Prabhuji. Yeah, makes absolute sense. Yes. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Anything else anyone would like to share? Ask. Okay. There is a question from Shyam Mohan Prabhu. Is there Saguna Bhakti or its types? Yes. There is Saguna Bhakti only. Bhakti is Nirguna. But Bhakti can be mixed with some Gunic elements. Like say, for example, milk is not poisonous, but milk can be mixed with poison. And the end product is poisonous milk. You may call it poisonous milk. So then the question is, but milk is supposed to be non-poisonous, right? Yes, milk is non-poisonous only. But if you add a drop of poison in milk, then it becomes poisonous milk. But that poison is not inherent. That poison is not an inherent quality of milk. That is extraneously added to it. Similarly, bhakti is beyond three modes. But you can add elements of sattva, rajas and tamas. You can mix it with bhakti. Adulterate bhakti with these elements. Then it becomes sattvaguni bhakti, rajoguni bhakti, tamabhakti. Right? But bhakti is not sattvaguni, rajoguni or tamoguni. Bhakti is trigunatit. But you can add those elements into it. So Bhagavatam, in the third canto, Kapila Dev, in the 29th chapter, he talks about sattvaguni bhakti, rajoguni bhakti, tamoguni bhakti. It is basically the heart of a devotee or the faith of a devotee which is contaminated with these elements of karma, jnana and yoga. Sattva, rajas and tamas. So that is called as sattvaguni bhakti or rajaguni bhakti or tamoguni bhakti. In some cases, it is called as saguna bhakti. But that saguna bhakti should be understood in the right context. Bhakti itself is nirguna only, but it has some additional adulterating elements of sattva, rajas and tamas. Then it becomes saguna bhakti. For example, if someone thinks, "Arey, Shravanam Kirtanam Navada Bhakti is very good. But Navada Bhakti to chalega, but Navada Bhakti ke saath na toda bo karma ki, you know, toda varnasham dharma bhi karna chahi." So if one thinks like that, then that bhakti, because his faith is not pure faith. It is contaminated with this, with some elements of karma. So if that karma is sakama karma, then it is rajoguni bhakti. If that karma is nishkama karma, then it is sattvaguni bhakti. So like that, bhakti can be mixed with three gunas, but bhakti inherently is beyond three gunas. Is it clear, Shyam Mohan? Okay, there is another question here in the chat box. What is devotion to demigods called? I mean, ideally, there is nothing called bhakti to demigods. Ideally, bhakti means it should be to Lord Vishnu only. That is the meaning of bhakti. But sometimes, you know, in the strictest sense, but not every time, you know, we use words in the strictest sense. Sometimes we say desh bhakti, samaj bhakti, and you know, all kinds of the demigod bhakti also we may say. But in the strictest sense, the word bhakti applies only to Vishnu or Krishna and no one else. You can call it demigod worship, but that worship is not the same as bhakti. You cannot call bhakti. It's something like, you know, worship, you can say, but that is not, or puja, but it is not bhakti. It is not devotional service like that. Anything else anyone would like to share on this theme that we have been discussing till now? Any other point, questions anyone would like to ask? Okay. If there is nothing, then we will continue our discussion. So now, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, here there will be an examination of the meaning of Nistraigunya and Traigunya. What is Nistraigunya and what is Traigunya? It is said in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam. Okay. Now, this is a very conclusive presentation that Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur is going to do based on the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam. This is from Uddhava Gita, 11th canto, where Krishna talks about what is Saguna and what is Saguna and Nirguna. He's going to discuss that. So, 11th canto, 25th chapter. Okay. Krishna says, Madarpanam Nishfalam va Svatvikam Nijakarmayat Rajasam Falasankalpam Himsa Prayadi Tamasam. He says, Nija Karma Madarpanam. Work performed as an offering to me, Nishfalamba, without consideration of the fruit, he says, Satvikam, is considered to be in the mode of goodness. So, therefore, if you do your prescribed duties and offer all the fruits to Krishna, that is not beyond three modes. That is within three modes only. That is Satvika. Then what is beyond three modes? Beyond three modes is when you perform those activities which Krishna wants you to perform. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam. Because here he is telling work. So here work refers to Varnashram activities. So Avarnashram activities, when performed for some piety, it is Rajasik. And Varnashram activities, when without any attachment for material things, but you do have some desire for liberation. And to attain liberation, you offer all the material fruit that you might otherwise get by performing the Varnashram activities, you give it to Krishna. Krishna, I don't want you. Take it. Take all these things, but in return, you give me liberation. Right? So, that is actually not beyond three modes. Nija karma madarpanam nishfalam va satvikam. Work performed as an offering to me without consideration of the fruit is considered to be the mode of goodness. Rajasam phalasankalpam, but work performed with a desire to enjoy the results is in the mode of passion. Himsa prayadi tamasam, and work impelled by violence and envy is in the mode of ignorance. So this is all within three modes. Even Nishkama Karma Yoga, where all the fruits are offered to Krishna, is sattvic only. It is not beyond three modes. In this statement, Nishfalam Va means occasionally devoid of desires for the results of execution of duties. So then he says, Kaivalyam Sattvikam Jnanam Rajo Vaikalpikam Chayat Prakritam Tamasam Jnanam Mad Nishtam Nirgunam Spritam. He's talking about jnana, knowledge. He says, Kaivalyam Satvikam Jnanam. Absolute knowledge is in the mode of goodness. Or absolute knowledge means knowledge or spiritual knowledge, even for that matter, you can say it is in mode of goodness. Rajo Vaipikam Chayat. Knowledge based on duality is in the mode of passion. So absolute knowledge means even the nature of the difference between body and soul is also absolute knowledge. But that knowledge is not beyond three modes. Right? Rajo Vaikalpikam Chayat. Knowledge based on duality is in the mode of passion. He is your enemy, he is your friend. This is all mode of passion. Okay. Prakritam Tamasam Jnanam. And foolish materialistic knowledge is in the mode of ignorance. Materialistic knowledge, whatever may be the subject matter, it is in mode of ignorance only. Then what is the knowledge which is beyond three modes? He says, mad nishtam nirgunam smritam. Knowledge based upon me, however, is understood to be transcendental. Which means any subject matter which describes Krishna, that is beyond the three modes. Then about residence, he says, vanam tu sattviko vaso gramo rajasa uchyate tamasam dyuta sadanam mad niketanam tu nirgunam. He says, vanam tu sattviko vaso, residence in the forest is in the mode of goodness, right? Gramo rajasa uchyate, residence in a town is in the mode of passion. Tamasam dyuta sadanam, residence in a gambling house displays the quality of ignorance. Mad niketanam tu nirgunam, but residence in a place where I reside is transcendental, which means residence in a temple is considered to be beyond three modes. But residence in a forest is not definitely superior to residence in a temple, because that is in mode of goodness. Then performer, karaka. Karaka means a performer. So when you talk about performer, sattvika karako asangi ragando rajasa smritaha tamasa smriti vibrashto nirguno madapashrayaha. He says, sattvika asangi karaka, a worker free of attachment, completely detached. A worker who is having no material attachment is not necessarily beyond three modes. He is in mode of goodness actually. Okay. Asangi, he has no attachment. He is in mode of goodness. Ragando rajasa smrita, a worker blinded by personal desire, is in a mode of passion. Okay. Tamasa smriti vibrashto, and a worker who has completely forgotten how to tell right from wrong. What is right? What is wrong? He does not know. He is in mode of ignorance. If a detached person is also in mode of goodness, then who is beyond three modes? He says, nirguno madapashraya. But a worker who has taken shelter of me is understood to be transcendental to the modes of nature. A karma yogi, jnana yogi, and an ashtanga yogi, they have not taken shelter of Krishna. They use Krishna to get what they want. They may worship, they do worship Krishna, but they don't take shelter of Krishna. So, nirguno madapashraya, one who has taken shelter of Krishna is understood to be beyond three modes. Then, let's talk about faith, shraddha. So, Krishna says, sattviki adhyatmiki shraddha, karma shraddha tu rajasi, tamasi adharmeya shraddha, mat sevayam tu nirguna. Sattviki adhyatmiki shraddha. Adhyatmiki shraddha means adhyatmik jeevan jeene ka jisne nishchay kiya hai. One who has decided that I have to dedicate my life to spiritual practices. I have to live a life of spirituality. That faith is not transcendental faith. Faith directed towards spiritual life is in the mode of goodness only. जो आध्यात्मिक जीवन जीने का जो श्रद्धा है वो त्रिगुणातीत श्रद्धा नहीं है, वो सत्वगुणी श्रद्धा है. तो त्रिगुणातीत श्रद्धा क्या है? He says, मत सेवायाम तु निर्गुणम. When in that spiritual pursuit, when you come to the conclusion that to progress in spiritual life, I have to perform pure devotional service to Krishna, that is transcendental faith. नहीं तो आध्यात्मिक जीवन जीने का जो श्रद्धा है वो त्रिगुणाती श्रद्धा नहीं है. इट इज नॉट. नेक्स्ट, कर्म श्रद्धा तो राजसी. फेथ रूटेड इन फ्रुइटिव वर्क इज इन मोड ऑफ पैशन. और तामसी श्रद्धा क्या है? ताम अधर्मे या श्रद्धा, जो अधर्म अधर्म करने का जो इच्छा रहता है, जो श्रद्धा रहता है, वो तामसिक श्रद्धा है. फेथ रिसाइडिंग इन इरिलीजियस एक्टिविटीज इज इन द मोड ऑफ इग्नोरेंस. Like that. Then, aharam, food. What is food in mode of goodness, passion, ignorance, and transcendental food? He says, Patyam Putam Anayastam Aharyam Satvikam Smritam Rajasam Chendriya Preshtam Tamasam Chartida Shuchi. So he says, Patyam Putam Anayastam Aharyam. Food that is wholesome, pure, and obtained without difficulty is in the mode of goodness. Satvikam Smritam. Rajasam Cha Indriya Preshtam. Food that gives immediate pleasure to the senses is in the mode of passion. Tamasam cha artida ashuchi, and food that is unclean and causes distress is in the mode of ignorance. So here Srila Vishnu Jagadakur says, according to Sridhar Swami, the word cha indicates that but food offered to me is beyond the three modes. And what kind of food can be offered to Krishna? Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati. Like that. And happiness. What is happiness which is within sattva guna, sattva rajas and tamas, and happiness which is beyond the three modes? He says, Satvikam sukam atmottam vishayottam tu rajasam tamasam mohadanyottam nirgunam madapashrayam. So, he says that Satvikam Sukam Atmottam, happiness which is derived from self, happiness which is derived due to self-realization, it is not transcendental happiness. It is happiness in the three modes. It is happiness in Sattva Guna. Vishayottam to Rajasam. Happiness based on sense gratification is in the mode of passion. Tamasam moha dainyottam, and happiness based on delusion and degradation is in the mode of ignorance. Like the kind of delusion and degradation that you get by drinking alcohol. That is the happiness of tamasic happiness. Nirgunam madapashrayam, but that happiness found within me or in approaching Krishna and in trying to please Krishna, that happiness is beyond three modes, transcendental. So basically, here Vishnu Chakradakur is quoting so many verses to indicate what is the meaning of Nistraigunyo Bhavarjuna. What is the meaning? What is the meaning of this instruction that Krishna is giving to Arjuna that transcend beyond the three modes, O Arjuna? It means what he is suggesting is become my devotee. Because only a devotee is transcendental to the three modes, and only a devotee can transcend the three modes eventually. Okay. So he says the last verses, after showing the objects in the three modes of nature, explain the conquest of the three modes situated to some degree within oneself by the process of nirguna bhakti in order to reach complete transcendence of the modes. So how do you transcend the three modes? So he says, Dravyam Deshas Tatakalo Jnanam Karmacha Karakaha Shraddhavasta Kritir Nishta Traigunyas Sarva Evahi. Therefore, material substance, place, result of activity, time, knowledge, work, the performer of work, faith, the state of consciousness, species of life, and destination after death are all based on the three modes of material nature. They are all based on the three modes of material nature. Sarve gunamaya bhava purusha avyakta dishtitaha drishtam shrutam anudhyatam buddhyava purusha rishabha. O best of the human beings, all states of material being are related to the interaction of the enjoying soul and material nature. The soul can enjoy, matter cannot enjoy. The soul can experience enjoyment through its connection with matter, even though it does not need matter to actually experience enjoyment. But due to false ego, he may identify with matter, and therefore he may think that he can experience pleasure by connection with matter. So he says, drishtam, shrutam, anudhyatam, buddhyava. Whether seen, heard of, or only conceived within the mind, they are without exception constituted of the modes of nature. Whatever you see in this material world, it has it is contaminated with the three modes. Whether you see, even if you may not see, but you have heard about it, or if it is only conceived of within your mind, trust that it is all within the three modes. It is not beyond the three modes. So which means even your dreams are within the three modes, even though it is completely mentally concocted, right? He says, Yetaha samsritaya pumso gunakarma nibandhanaha yeneme nirjita saumya guna jivena chitta jaha bhakti yogena madnishto madbhavaya prapadyate. O gentle Uddhava, all these different phases of conditioned life arise from work born of the material nature. All this is born out of work, born out of material nature. The living entity who conquers these modes manifested from the mind by the process of devotional service can dedicate himself to me and thus attain pure love for me. So the means of transcending all these three things is only by practice of pure devotional service, which is what then Krishna means when he tells Arjuna, Nistraigunyo Bhavarjuna, transcend the three modes. And transcend the three modes means, what it means is become my devotee, because that is the only way of transcending the three modes. Thus, only by the process of bhakti can one conquer over the three modes. There is no other way. Later, in answer to the question, how can one surpass the three modes of material nature? The Lord says, because Arjuna asks, Kairlingais Tringuna Netam Atito Bhavati Prabho Kimacharaha Katamschayetam Tringuna Nati Vartate. What is the process of transcending the three modes? That is the last question that he asked. Of course, he asked few other questions before that. The last thing is, Katamscha Etam Tringuna Nati Vartate. How can I transcend the three modes? Krishna, he says in the 14th chapter he has of Bhagavad Gita. So Krishna says, Mamchayo Avyabhicharena Bhakti Yogena Sevate Sagunan Samati Tetan Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate. Sridhar Swami explains this verse as follows. The word cha, the cha word indicates exclusiveness. He who serves only me, the Supreme Lord, through undeviating Bhakti Yoga surpasses the gunas. He can surpass the gunas. So therefore, when Krishna says, Nistraigunyo Bhavarjuna, it means perform pure devotional service by becoming my devotee, like that. So that is the meaning of this verse, Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraigunyo Bhavarjuna. Any quick comments, discussion points, questions, anything anyone would like to share as add? Yes, Vahini Mataji.
So Prabhuji, sometimes we see that even devotees, they are performing pure devotional service for some time, but then again they are gripped by the modes of nature again. Like we see somebody doing something which is not
devotional. Inappropriate.
So how do we understand that? Like
good
how,
point.
Once they have transcended, then they can come back to it again, or how can they sustain themselves at that level?
Thank you, Madhaji, but it's very unfortunate that you asked this question at 20, but still I will at least start answering this question. I will give a hint and then we will have to continue this discussion next week. But thank you very much for asking this question. It is a very relevant question. And we definitely, it's very important to understand what the answer to this question. So I will just add one more slide. And we have to understand gunas. Gunas contaminate. So what does contaminate? Would anyone like to share? What do the gunas contaminate? Would anyone like to share? Yes, Shyam Mohan Prabhu.
Mind, senses, intelligence, mind and false ego, everything.
Intelligence, mind, false ego. Correct. Yeah. Very nice. unsenses, correct. Yes. So let us try to understand. I will try to simplify this. Gunas can contaminate two things. Gunas can contaminate our faith, and gunas can contaminate our swabhava, or our, you know, you can say our stimulus response system. You know, in medical language, if I have to say. So gunas can contaminate our faith, and gunas can contaminate our stimulus response system, right? So you can have when you have pure faith, let's say our pure devotional faith can be contaminated by the gunas. So in that case, you will call it sattvaguni bhakti or rajoguni bhakti or tamoguni bhakti. Okay. But when our nature, our stimulus response system is affected by the three modes, then if we are sattvaguni, I will just take, because we don't have time, I will just take one example. We will get attracted to, you know, sattvic foods, you know, moong dal and things like that. And if our stimulus response system is affected by rajas, then ekdam tika chatpata vada pav and all those things. Okay. And if our stimulus response system is affected by tamas, then we might get attracted to intoxication, drugs, etc. Right. So now the point is that, so these are the two things. So the gunas can contaminate our faith, or the gunas can contaminate our stimulus response system. So I'm actually, this is not exactly correct, because our stimulus response system also is dependent on faith. So it is not as simple. I'm oversimplifying this thing. There is, it's much more complicated than this. But let, for simplicity purpose, I'm just calling the swabhava as stimulus response system, even though this is not very accurate. This is not at all accurate, but just for simplicity purpose, I'm telling. You can say swabhava is our likes and dislikes. And faith says what is right and what is wrong. Okay. The three modes can affect both. So one can have a perfect understanding of what is right and wrong, but still may like something which is wrong and dislike something which is right. So because Vahini Mataji asked this question, I will unmute Vahini Mataji and I will ask you, Mataji. Do you sometimes have this problem that you know what is right, what is wrong, but sometimes you tend to get attracted to something which is not right, and sometimes you don't wish to do something which is right? Does it anytime happen?
Many times, Rudy.
Many times, right? So, yeah. So, this is the case of a sadhaka. So, when we say that devotees have transcended the modes, what it means is their faith is transcendental to the modes, which means they have a clear understanding of what is right, what is wrong, what is acceptable, what is not acceptable. But still, in another sense, they have not transcended the modes, because their likes and dislikes have not aligned. They are not aligned with the transcendental faith. Right? So they still, you know, they may still start salivating looking at, you know, like a roadside vada pav. You know, it may say, wow, it's so delicious. My mouth is watering. And sometimes we may end up eating it also, even though we know that it is wrong. So which means our faith is still transcendental, but our stimulus response system is still not responding to our faith completely. Right? So this is the position of a sadhaka. That is why Bhagavad Gita says, Mamchayo avyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. One who performs avyabhichari bhakti, which means pure devotional service, which means he is already transcendental to the three modes, right? But the verse says, one who practices pure bhakti, he transcends the modes, in future tense it says. So which means, while practicing pure bhakti, he must be within the modes only. Correct? Yes, one who practices pure bhakti, in future transcends the modes. Which means, while practicing bhakti, is he within the modes? Yes and no. His faith is transcendental. His faith has transcended the modes, but his swabhava is still responding to the modes. So, if one practices pure devotional service, which means who has transcendental faith, by that practice gradually over a period of time, anarthanavritti, nishta, ruchi, asakti, when one crosses all those stages and reaches the stage of bhava, then his swabhava or his stimulus response system will also not respond to the stimulus which is coming from the three modes. So therefore, when we see devotees also performing activities which may not be appropriate, which are certainly not, you know, you cannot say that it's a transcendental activity. It means they are not responding to, you know, because you don't always act on the platform of right and wrong, right? Many times you end up acting on the platform of likes and dislikes. Right? Even though, you know, like you may have a singer who knows that to maintain my voice, I cannot afford to eat anything cold. But sometimes, unable to resist the temptation, the singer may end up eating some ice cream. Right? So does it mean that he does not understand what is right and wrong? No. But that just means that he is unable to resist his temptation. So there is a difference. So gunas can actually affect these two things. And these two things have to be dealt with separately. Conditioning is different, faith is different. The three gunas can affect the faith also and conditioning also. So a sadhaka or a vaidhi sadhaka is one whose faith is pure, but his conditioning is still within the grips of the three modes. So a person can respond to his faith or a person can respond to his conditioning. So therefore, just because he is responding to his conditioning, which is still within the grips of the three modes, does not mean that he has a faith also which is within the three modes. Mm-hmm. Is it clear, Mataji?
Yes, bro.
Yeah. So you asked a very profound question, but unfortunately we have very little time, but maybe we could, if someone steers the discussion in this direction next week also, then I think we will take this discussion further. But thank you very much for asking this relevant question. So, and thank you all very much for your patient listening and your enthusiastic participation. So we will continue this discussion again next week. We will try to understand, especially this point about, please remind me, we will discuss about this nature of modes. How do the modes interact with the living entity and practitioner, especially sadhakas? How do the modes interact in the life of a sadhaka? We will try to discuss this next week. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur Pad ki jai, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.